And so you actually recorded with Don and played with him, right?
Yeah, I started out as the road guy, and then after a couple of years, Don started bringing me in to record on certain songs where he wanted something different. And at the same time, Don had enough clout as an artist, and Danny Flowers, who was the front man of our group, originally called the Bus Riders, later the Scratch Band, got us a deal with MCA Records here in Nashville. And so we did a record for MCA that was, of course, two rock and roll for country and two country for rock and roll. But we did that record, and we all got to work with Don in the studio. Don and Garth Fundis produced it. Mm-hmm. And then Don started bringing me in for just certain songs, which, needless to say, was a thrill. And I think he knew that I would do anything to be on the record. I'd play it backwards, forwards, sideways, upside down, whatever. And so I started doing that. And then in about 1985, and I'd started to do a few more sessions with people like Billy Ray Reynolds, who was one of the first guys to kind of, sure, and Guy also. Both Guy and Billy Ray were two of the first people to say, don't worry about sounding like somebody else. Do your thing. And
what
I, at
a
that
great
point,
songwriter, too.
Yeah. Really. Oh, absolutely. And I had, at this point, I had gotten this electric upright bass that I still have, that we affectionately call the Beast or Buzz, depending on who's hanging. And so they were the first guys that kind of encouraged me. And then in 85, Joe Allen, who had played on most of Don's records and, you know, was a fabulous bass player and still one of my dear friends, a guy I love very much. Joe was out on the road with Neil Young, and so that, ironically enough, led me to the opportunity to be on the Don's A-team, if you like, with Kenny Malone and Charles Cochran and Billy Sanford and Jim Horn, and being in the studio with those guys was, I mean, the single probably biggest break that I ever had as a studio player was to have that opportunity and to work with guys in that quality. And the first single that came out that I played on went to number one, a song called Heartbeat in the Darkness.
Right.
And that was, you know, and boy, that was just the most amazing thing ever, to turn on the radio and hear yourself. I mean, I still, like, I still love that. But at the time, it was just like, you know, you pull the car over so you didn't wreck, you know.
I did.
And so from that point on, I started playing on all of Don's records, and I became his band leader around 1988, and I was his band leader up until the time I left the band in 1994. And we co-produced a live album that Don did over in England at the Albert Hall in 1993, and that was a real thrill to, you know, because it was a dream. Don is such a great singer live. I always, for years, I was bugging him to do a live album, and I was actually getting ready to leave the band, because what had happened starting in 85 when I started playing on Don's records, sessions started to come along. In 1987, we did the Keith Whitley Don't Close Your Eyes album, which really put me on the map as a player with a little different sound with the fretless and the electric upright stuff that I played almost exclusively on that record, particularly I'm No Stranger to the Rain and When You Say Nothing at All. Those songs were songs that got me a fair amount of attention as a player. And then not long after that, Emmylou Harris's album Bluebird, we did, was a real thrill and a real step forward for me to work with an artist of that stature, who I, you know, and I'm fortunate enough to have an ongoing creative relationship with Emmylou, where I play on her stuff periodically, and I'm on her new record, which is nominated for a Grammy, on a few cuts, so I'm very excited about that. And so it was really a building thing, and then I had to get off the road in order to really go full-time into session work, and of course I was, all along I was doing, you know, learning how to produce and doing my own projects, and I was always interested in kind of having my own stuff going on the side, really as a creative release, so that I didn't go into other situations where the role of the bass was very restricted and feel like I had to somehow, you know, insert myself in a bad way, you know, where I'm trying to show off or get attention rather than just playing the song. And that's what I learned from Don Williams. The most important lesson I've ever learned in my musical life is play the song and leave out the stuff that doesn't really enhance the song. If you're just doing it for yourself, don't do it.
Right.
And I've been able to take that philosophy, which for Don was about country music, although he, you know, in Don's mind, I think folk and blues and country, all of that stuff, I mean, I think Don saw all of that as one kind of thing, but I've been able to take that approach to all kinds of music, and it's always served me well.